Lord. Tonight we do dedicate ourselves to you. Lord God, we acknowledge your lordship over our lives, that we are not our own, that we've been bought with a price. We thank you, Father God, that you are our Heavenly Father. We're your children, and as children, we listen to you, to our Father. We thank you, Father. Tonight, Father, we acknowledge that you know best what we should do, the plan. You have the best plan for our lives. We thank you, Father God, that you're moving mightily to bring forth what you have for us in our lives in the name of Jesus. Everything that is not lined up with the word, you're working on it. We thank you for it now. You're working on it right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father God, every situation that needs to be dealt with so that we may be able to walk in the perfect will of God. You're dealing with it right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. You're a good, good Father. You're able to bring us forth into all that you have for us. And tonight, as we dedicate ourselves to you, we make room. We allow you to work in our lives, in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives and in our circumstances, so that we may be able to follow you and to be used of you and to be able to affect a difference in your kingdom, Father. We thank you now, Father, tonight. Bless these people with your word. We thank you, Father, for your presence in this place, real tonight, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are thankful for the Word of God? How many of you can recall a time when there was a verse in the Bible that reached out, spoke to you, and helped you get over something, helped you to rise up when it didn't look like you could? A verse in the Bible strengthened you to keep on going when you couldn't go. Listen to me. Thankful for the Word. Lift your hands and just thank God for His Word. Thank God for His Word. His Word strengthens us. His Word guides us. His Word will tell us what to do. His Word ministers to us. His Word brings healing. He sent His Word and healed them, is what the Bible says. This Word is what heals us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. This Word provides for us. This Word guides us. This Word assures us. This Word helps us to be strong in faith. Glory to God. This Word enables us to understand His ways so that we may be able to walk with Him and fellowship with Him and live a life of abundance that we couldn't live before. Glory to God. This word that we have, not some other word, but this word that we have. Let's say it together. This word that we have. This word that we have. This word that we have. This is what helps us. This word. Say it with me. If you got a Bible, just hold it up against you right here like this. The device or whatever it might be. Just hold it up. Just hold the word to you right here and say, this word ministers to me. This word strengthens me. This word helps me. This word ministers to me healing. Hallelujah. Provision, protection, strength, guidance, wisdom, direction, everything that I need. This word that I have. This word that I have. This word that I have. It helps me. It's what I need. Don't have to look for another. I have this word. This word helps me. Ha ha ha. Somebody ought to laugh about that. Got the victory now. Got the victory now. Come on now. No need to quit. No need to lay down. No need to draw back. This word that you have enables you to move forward. Move forward. Move forward. Move forward. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You hold on to this word. Listen, this is for somebody. You hold on to this word. Listen to me. There is a way that will open up to you that you had not yet thought about, but it'll open up just as if supernaturally, and you'll be able to walk through it, and you'll know exactly what you'll be in the right place, and the blessings shall flow. Hallelujah. This word. Say it with me. This word. that I have. It will help me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, you can be seated. It really wasn't my sermon, but I'll tell you, blessed anyway. You know, we could go home right now and know that the Lord has helped us. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know it's His Word? Amen. Now listen to me. How many of you know the New Testament is the this New Testament is the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ? As such, He has written in there important things. You know, as somebody who prepares to move on to another life, you know, and passes from this life, they would leave a document that would instruct what to do with the resources that they have. Isn't that right? And so that's what we have here is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. And He has identified in this document certain things. He has identified His heirs, and He has identified what they should have. So we ought to read it, hadn't we? Perchance we might be heirs. You know, now this is deep, so you get ready for it. You can't obtain the inheritance if you don't know about it. Come on now. So how many of you know we ought to get into the document and see what it is that's been left to us by our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And so, you know, inheritance is something that it touches a lot of people in the natural. A lot of people are affected by inheritance, this or that. And somebody made the statement then the natural, speaking in the natural, you really don't know anybody until it comes time to divide the inheritance. Well, I don't know, but it might be true. Who knows? But I know this much. I heard about people have different attitudes about inheritance. One guy was sad at work, and so his coworker Brian saw him and asked him, he said, "What's the problem? What's the problem?" Friend had this forlorn look on his face, looked like he'd been forsaken, looked like he didn't left out, didn't know what to do, didn't know where he's going, lost, you know. And so he said, "Well," he said, "you remember last month how my great-grandmother passed away and she left me $2,000? And his buddy said, "Yeah." Co-worker said, "Yeah." And he said, "And you remember the month before that my great-uncle passed away, he left me $5,000? And a co-worker again agreed, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "I remember that." And he said, "Well, what's the problem?" He said to the guy that looks like he'd lost his best friend, you know, and everything. He said, the guy said, "Well," he said, "this month is almost over." And he said, "So far, nothing." So people have different ideas about inheritance, you know. Come on, somebody ought to laugh about that. I know some of you might be caught up right in the middle of an inheritance process. It'll help you to laugh. Come on now, don't get so uptight about it. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is watching and helping you. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you about, you know, if this is true about this document being the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look into it a little bit tonight on this subject. Hebrews 6:17 makes this statement. And let's take a look at that. I'll give you a moment to turn to that. And then we'll look at this. He says in this verse, Hebrews 6:17, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath." Now notice here, He is speaking to the heirs of promise. Say that with me, the heirs of promise. And so The Amplified Classic Version says it this way: accordingly, God also, in his desire to show more convincingly and beyond doubt, now listen to this, to those who inherit the promise, the unchangeableness of his purpose and plan, intervened, mediated with an oath. The Living Bible says it this way: God also bound himself with an oath so that, now listen to this, those he promised to help. Now you ought to start getting interested in this. How many of you has God promised to help? Hands ought to be up all over the place. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I maintain that you ought to read your Bible till you find yourself there and let it speak to you. So he says here, to those he promised to help would be perfectly sure. How would you like to be perfectly sure and never need to wonder whether he might change his plans? He's not going to. The New Living Translation says, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who receive the promise, say it with me, those who receive the promise, could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. In other words, God has written his word, established this document. He's not going to revise it. He's not going to get upset and change who his heirs are. Did you hear that? It was quiet in here just now. That idea, we wouldn't like that, would we? Once you identify as one of the heirs, it would not be a good day if the one writing the will would change the heirs. That would not be a good day. Don't look so sad. He's not changing it, okay? And so here we think, now listen to me. I look at this and I see myself right there. Can you see yourself right there? We are the heirs of promise. Say, we are the heirs of promise. Isn't that right? We are the heirs to whom God has promised certain things. We are the heirs who are listed or designated in the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're the heirs. So look at it this way. Tonight, we're gathered here for the reading of the will. How many of you could go along with that? Amen. Well, you know, sometimes though, you know, how many, I've heard stories, how many of you seen movies where the heirs got together and it didn't go so well? You know, they didn't know how to act. They started acting any old way they wanted to act, and things got out of hand, and people started acting inappropriately, and this and that, and they were upset because they didn't get what they thought they wanted or they should get, and all of that. Don't look at me so sad right now. But now listen to me. So here's my question: when people are gathered together for the reading of the will, what should we do? Seeing there is a will, seeing we're in it, what should we do? How should we act? Well, the best that I know to do is to go find someone who has acted appropriately and do like they did. This is getting so quiet tonight, I tell you what. Brother Bill, do you think, come up here. You might have to get Brother Bill to come up here and jump off the stage like that guy did in the men's conference to liven things up. Hallelujah. Probably have to liven things up. We have to help him up. I know you'd have to help me up if I tried to jump off of it. Well, it all depends. If I did it like that guy did at the men's conference, you'd have to help me up. He went up before he went down. Goodness. How many of you guys remember that? I'm telling you. How many of you like went like that? How many of your eyes got big when he did that? Oh, my. I'm like, ooh. And there wasn't even any water down there to land. Amen. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go look at Abraham. Abraham, the reason being is that Abraham was an heir of God, and he successfully received his inheritance, that which God had for him, and he is a prototype for us who believe, for those who are listed as heirs in the book. What he did, if you do the same thing, you're going to get that which belongs to you. So let's look at Abraham. Can we look at Abraham just for a few moments? Amen. All right. And so here it says, now get this. I'm going to paint the picture just a little bit for you. Before Abraham had any hope of having children, God said in Abram, all families or nations will be blessed. In other words, he said something that couldn't possibly happen because Sarah was barren and could not have children. You know that in Genesis chapter 11. But in Genesis chapter 12, here in verses 1 through 3, here's what God said to Abram. He said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. Now listen to this. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In other words, evidently, God was saying that somehow, even though he was childless, he was going to bless all nations through him. And I'm sure in the natural, Abram's like, this doesn't make any sense. The doctors have told us we can't have children. So I don't know how in the world this can happen. Am I going to live a long time? Am I going to live forever? I just thought we were all supposed to die. But how's this going to happen? How many of you know if God told you that and you couldn't have any kids, but now all nations shall be blessed in you, how many of your minds would work? How many of your mind would go into gear? Your mind would be trying to think, how'd that happen? How many of you'd lie awake at night sometimes and just wonder, how in the world is God going to do that? I know God said that, but I'm telling you, and I know he can do many mighty things, and I can know he can do supernatural things, but how in the world is he going to bless all nations through me who has no children, who has no hope for any lineage, who has no hope for any descendants? Can you understand that? And so Abraham, the Bible says, obeyed God. Everybody say obeyed. So there's a key right there. If God gives you direction, you need to obey. Why is that? Why is that? Because if you read the language there in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, we see him giving him specific instructions. Get out of your country. Get out of away from your family and from your relatives to a land I will show you. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get his inheritance to him. Anytime God instructs you on something, he's trying to get something to you. But it may look like you have to give up something. And that's the paradox that many times we find in the Bible, that in order to receive something from God, you got to give up what you already got. Isn't that interesting? And so here's the thing then that Abraham had to leave his country. He had to obey God and go to the place that he wasn't familiar with. And so we know then that he obeyed God. And then in Genesis 15, 20, verse 2, Genesis 15, verse 2 and through 6, we see that he is in this land of Canaan, in the land that God told him to go to, but he's still no sign of any descendants. God had spoken to him several times about descendants having a child and how his descendants would be as the number of the stars and all of that. And so we come to a moment in Genesis 15 where God says, but Abram said, verse 2, Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. That was his servant. And then Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. How many of you are glad for the word of the Lord? How many of you are glad for the word you have? You know what I'm saying? Listen to me. Listen to me. If you get into the word you have, it'll speak to you. Even when it looks like you don't have what it takes. Abraham, it looked like he didn't have what it took to have descendants as numerous as the stars. He said, seeing I go childless. He said, I don't have this thing figured out. The only thing I can figure out is my servant is going to be my heir. That's the only thing I can figure out. And so sometimes, friend, you may not be able to figure out how God is going to get you what he has promised to you. But listen to me, hold on to the word you have. I said, hold on to the word you have. Look at your neighbor and tell him, hold on to the word you have. Why is that? Because that word will instruct you on how to get the promise, that which God has spoken about, your share of the inheritance. Amen. Now look, and he goes on and he says here, the word of the Lord, verse 4, came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. In other words, he said, you gonna have a child yourself. You don't have to have somebody else to be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Amen. What did Abraham do when God spoke the word of the Lord and he heard the word of the Lord? What did he do? It says he believed. Everybody say believed. He believes. So here's the thing. Here's two things that I can tell you that would be appropriate concerning receiving our inheritance. One is you would obey him who gave the inheritance. And number two, you would believe him. Isn't that thrilling? I've got two keys already to unlock my inheritance. To open up my inheritance, to be able to tap into my inheritance. Isn't that right? And so we see then this happening. So God instructed Abram so that he might believe for God's promise. Now I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Abram had to contend with his faith for having an heir or to have the promise of God in his life. What do you mean by that? Well, if you look at Romans chapter 4, verse 18, Romans 4, 18 through 21, he says this, talking about Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he might become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. In other words, listen to this. He did not look around in the natural and consider how this thing could be done. He did not look around at the things that were against him. He didn't look at the obstacles. He didn't look at the inability of mankind. He did not look at the impossibility of things in the natural. Instead, he considered the promise of God. And so I want to tell you tonight, just as I read that, the Lord spoke to me and said to tell somebody in here, stop considering those other things. You've been looking at those other things too much. I'm not talking about not using wisdom and considering the whole counsel of God. I'm not talking about being foolish and getting out there and doing something that endangers your life or causes you to take unnecessary risks. I am telling you this, that you've not placed the appropriate trust in the promise above everything else that you can see. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm getting happy. I'm just going to get myself happy. And if y'all get happy, I guess that's going to be all right too. But I'm going to get happy whether you all do or not. Just come on now. He said, Brother Yoder, couldn't you just kind of start moving in the Holy Ghost or something instead of teaching that? Can you get off that obedience stuff? Abraham believed God, and as a result, he received the promise of God. He contended for the heir that was promised to him. He had to use his faith. He didn't just sit around and play pinochle or something like that until in his old age. He didn't play shuffleboard, you know, thinking about how what could have been. Come on now. Do you know what I'm saying? He didn't give up. Even in his old age, he contended. He believed God. He kept on looking at the stars. Said God said, my descendants will be like those stars, the number of those stars. I'll have so many, it'll be impossible to count them, just like you can't count the stars. And he kept encouraging himself in the promise. He considered the promise. He considered the promise. Say it with me. He considered the promise. And as a result, he received the promise of God for an heir. Not only an heir, but he received the promise of God in a number of other places. Listen, let me just go through a couple of scriptures to describe Abraham's life of faith and what happened as a result of it. First of all, it says in Genesis 13:2 that Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. So he had financial blessing, didn't he? Isn't that right? And provision. In Genesis 14, verses 14 through 18, we see this. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. And so he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods as well as the women and the people. And so we see that he lived in victory. He had victory in the time of battle. Everybody say victory. And then in Genesis 15, verses 18 through 21, it says, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I've given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgazites, and the Jebusites, and as some have said, and the termites, but I don't know for sure that those are actually a legitimate tribe, you know. Every place I see termites show up, they're not wanted, you know. Anyway, listen to me. All of his descendants, all of that land is given to him, Abram and his descendants. And so there's a covenant that Abram had with God. Covenant. Everybody say covenant. And then in Genesis 20 and 17, we read something interesting. Abram had taken Sarah down to Egypt, and so Abimelech said, I want Sarah. She's beautiful. I'm going to take her for my wife. He didn't know, because Abram had said, this is my sister, because he, you know, a little bit weak in faith right there, you know. But here's the thing. God allowed the Abimelech and everybody to be struck with some disease and so forth. And says in Genesis chapter 20, verse 17, it says, so Abram prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children. interestingly enough, there was in that covenant, in that relationship, in that covenant that God, that Abraham had with God, healing was there. Healing was there. Healing was there. Everybody say healing. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 15, we see God said this: for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And then verse 15, and so after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So you could say it this way, that he obtained an heir. He had a son born to him and Sarah. He obtained what God had spoken about after he patiently endured. Everybody say, he obtained an heir, didn't he? In Hebrews 11:8, it says this: by faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going, or you could say someplace he was not familiar with. Okay? Now listen to me. So why did he do that? Because the Lord guided him. So we see that guidance. Abram had guidance from God, didn't he? Everybody say guidance. Amen. And then finally, I love this one. James chapter 2, verse 23. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now listen to this. And he was called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. Everybody say the friend of God. I don't know about you, but I like that. He was God's friend. So here's the thing. None of the things that Abraham had in his life are things that are unfamiliar or unobtainable for us. These are things that are in our covenant, in the will that Jesus has left for us. And so these are just some of the things that Abraham obtained. He didn't just obtain, one promise and was satisfied with it. Listen to me. He believed God, and in every area that he had a need, he obtained what he needed. He obtained what he needed. And so here's the thing. Abraham is a prototype for us in using our faith to receive God's promises, which is our inheritance. God's promises is our inheritance. Amen? So I'm going to give you three words now that'll help you as I wrap this up real quickly. First of all, he conceived the possibility. Everybody say conceive. He conceived in his mind and heart the possibility of God's promise, that God could do something beyond what man would consider possible. The doctor said, you won't have any kids, but he conceived or began to see in his mind and in his heart that there is a possibility. If God said something, there must be something more than what the doctor said that could happen. In other words, listen to me, you got to conceive something in your mind and in your heart before you can begin to, the next word is believe. Then he believed. He believed in his heart the promise that God gave to him. First of all, he conceived the possibility. Next, he believed the promise. Amen. What'd he do? He believed it. Listen to me. He didn't start out that way, but he believed the promise of God. How did he believe that? He didn't believe it kind of half-heartedly. He didn't just believe it a little bit. He didn't occasionally believe in it. He didn't believe in it when he thought about it. He didn't believe in it as long as it looked like it was working out. What does the Bible say? Romans 4:21, it says he was fully convinced, or as the King James says, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he is able to perform. So just listen to me. He conceived the possibility. Number two, he believed the promise in his heart. fully convinced. And number three, he received that heir, that inheritance that God had for him. Number one, he conceived. Number two, he believed. Number three, he received. Okay, he received the promise. He actually received the promise of God. So how are we to act as children who are people who are listed in the inheritance in the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ? Let us conceive the possibility of the inheritance that is in the book, that's in the written in the will, and as seeing that as possible for us. Number two, we need to stay in it long enough till we get fully convinced that which has been promised is actually going to happen in our life. And number three, let us take hold of it and believe it and act on that promise and lay hold of that inheritance. Amen. Can you stand with me, please? Amen. We're out of time. The clock does not seem to stop for anything. And so one last verse I will read to you tonight. And let me just tell you this. Listen to this. Titus 3:7 says this, that talks about us. This is about us. Having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Friend, listen to me. Part of our inheritance is eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. Everybody say eternal life. That's part of our inheritance, isn't it? You know, what does that mean? Eternal life with Jesus Christ. Living face to face with Jesus. What does that mean? It means to be everlasting, from everlasting on to forever, to being with God, in fellowship with him, access to him face to face when we need him. And so listen to me, my friend, listen to me. We are the heirs of the hope of eternal life. But my friend, listen to me tonight. If you're here and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to tell you something. You need to do it so that you can tap into all the things you need, even in this life, and then in the next life, be an heir to eternal life. You can obtain that eternal life tonight. It'll come within you if you receive Christ as your Savior. And then when you pass on in from this life, you know where you're going. You will have the hope of eternal life inside of you, having obtained it through being born again and now becoming a child of God. Listen to me, my friend. If you have not given your life to Christ, then I want to tell you tonight is your night. If heads bowed and eyes closed, I just sense this. The Lord instructed me to give this altar call tonight. Somebody's here tonight that needs to give their life to Christ tonight. You are here tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Hallelujah. And you would say, I don't know Christ as my Savior. Well, friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you are not listed as an heir in the Bible, in the New Testament. So listen to me. But you can be an heir by receiving Christ as your Savior. And so tonight, you need to give your life to Christ. You've been unhappy with the way your life is. You have been dissatisfied. Matter of fact, you've been very upset with the way your life is, and you've shaken your head at the way things are, and you need to change that. Tonight, you can change that. Giving your life to Christ. If you're here tonight and you have not given your life to Christ, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit right now to move upon you to convince you. I can't convince you. No man can convince you. But Holy Spirit, you can. You can convince this person that he needs Christ. He needs Christ. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you right now, do what no man can do. Convince that person they need Christ in their life. in the name of Jesus. And so right now, as we heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you are here and you need to give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit is working on you, convicting you, convincing you of this. Would you simply slip up your hand right now? I'm looking across this room right now. People are praying, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People are praying, believing for those hands to be lifted, that you need Christ as your Savior. Either that, or you once knew Christ, but you drifted away, and you have not lived for Christ at all. And tonight you're here. You are here tonight, and you need to get back into fellowship with God. And you want to raise your hand tonight. You would slip your hand up right now and say, right now, tonight, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to get into fellowship with God. Simply slip up your hand. I'm looking across the auditorium right now. Hands, looking for hands to be raised up. Just simply raise your hand right now. I'm asking Holy Spirit that you help us. Help us tonight in the name of Jesus. Help these people that need to respond in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm going to wait just another moment. If you're here tonight, and you need Christ as your Savior. You need Christ as your Savior. Or you need to get in fellowship. You need to come back to God. You got a hand back there? All right. Any others that would lift their hand right now? And hallelujah. Just keep praying. Would you just take a moment? Anybody else that would raise their hand and say, look around, help me, ushers, to see hands that would be raised that would say, I want to get right with God. I want to get into fellowship with God, or I want to know. Receive Christ as my Savior. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are helping us tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For those of you that raised your hands, I know it's at least one, may have been more, I don't know, but I'd like for you to take a bold step. And as people are praying, why don't you just step out and come down here. I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you and believe God with you. Just come quickly right now. Just step out of your seat right now and come. The rest of you, just keep praying and believing God. Come quickly. Now's the time for you to come and to act on what it is that God has for you. Hallelujah. Just come. Come now. We're waiting for you. Come now. Holy Spirit, come and help this person to come down here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are our helper. You are helping in this matter in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Anybody else that would come? There's one coming. Anybody else that would come? Anybody else that would come right now? Now's your time. Now's your time. We're depending on the Holy Spirit to help you tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to wait just a moment. Anybody else? I'm looking across the audience one last time. Anybody else that would come right now? Come so that we can pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How are you? How are you? Do you know the Lord? Are you coming back? Amen. God is good. He's faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know He loves you? Amen. Father, let's pray this together. You repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you that you helped me. You drew me to this place. I ask forgiveness of my sin. Thank you for helping me now, for receiving me as your child, for receiving me into fellowship. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that has washed everything away. And now I thank you that you have received me in the family of God, and now I can fellowship with you. In Jesus' name. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Amen. 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 Prayed that prayer and you meant that. Jesus has welcomed you. The Father has opened his arms to help you. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to go with this gentleman, and if there's a, do you have a lady? You have a lady right there. She has some ladies with you too. He's going to give you some literature that'll help you. one of the things I know from experience is this, that sometimes when we come back to the Lord, the enemy doesn't want us to know much so that he can take advantage of us again. But when you know, have some knowledge, you can stand up and keep walking with God. Amen? And so would you go with her to that place of prayer? Just follow him, and they'll give you those tools. God bless you. Let's give her a big hand. Hallelujah. 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 Let's raise our hands. Let's thank the Lord. Father, we thank you that this lady right now is taking a bold step for you. And I thank you, Father God, that your mighty hand is upon her and you drew her and you have good plans for her. Good plans for her in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for surrounding her. We declare she's delivered from every wicked and unreasonable person who does not exercise faith. But, Father, you are faithful to her. You establish her and you keep her. And you surround her with people of faith that help her to walk with you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. You are faithful. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up. Let's lift your hands up. Let's thank God for his will, for his last will and testament, that we are his heirs, the heirs that we know how to act. We know how to act in the light of the inheritance that we have received, being heirs of God. We know how to act because we have a prototype. Abraham received his inheritance. If we act like Abraham, we're going to receive ours. Amen. How many of you know? How many of you are going to receive your inheritance? You're going to what? You're going to conceive it's possible. Number two, you're going to believe with your heart the promise of God. And number three, you're going to receive or take hold of that which has been promised by faith and call it yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you have something specific, an area that you need to receive? It could be the peace of God. How many of you know it's part of your inheritance? Some of you have not had peace, right? Listen to me. Just say, I take hold of my peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you need healing. You said, Lord, I'm waiting for you to heal me. No, my friend, the more appropriate action would be this. I take hold of my healing, which is part of my inheritance. I take hold of it in Jesus' name. Thank you for it now, Lord. Now, thank God for whatever it is that you need. Let's say it together. Hallelujah. Let's say this together. And I want you to finish the sentence. I'm going to say it this way. Let's say this together. I take hold of, and then you finish the sentence. Whatever area you need, and then you begin to thank God that you have it now. So let's say it together. I take hold of. Now you tell God what it is that you believe you're receiving right now. We take hold of it right now in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we want to thank you that we have received our inheritance. 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 Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The bands of impossibility removed by faith. By faith. By faith. Ha, ha. The bands are broken. In Jesus' name. The bands that held back what belonged to you, broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We do receive it. Thank God. One more time. Thank him right now. I got it. Let's begin to rejoice. Thank God. You got your inheritance. You've got your inheritance. You've got your inheritance. Begin to thank God. Just going to bless him. Come on now. Somebody ought to rejoice. Hallelujah. You ought to start acting like you got your inheritance. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on. Thank him right now. Rejoice in the Lord. I got my inheritance. Hallelujah. What are you so happy about? I got my inheritance. Glory to God. I've taken hold of it. Glory to God. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Glory. 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 Thank you. Come on now. You ought to be happy about some things. You might not see it yet, but you got it. You might not feel it yet, but you got it. It may not have appeared on the horizon yet. You may have been looking for it, and you hadn't seen it yet. It hadn't come over the horizon yet, but it's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's happening. It's happening. Why? You've learned how to tap into your inheritance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.